kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. Cole, how are you doing tonight?
I'm alive. I have deja vu.
Yeah, it's like we did this.
God damn it. Remember that whole thing about, like, we don't do takes and we don't edit and it's just whatever we do, we do?
Well, I'm not editing. I'm just not using the first half of what we did.
That's technically editing. You just did it while we were recording.
Editing live. That was like,
yeah, that was on the spot editing. Fuck this. Cole said shit and we're not getting a cereal sponsorship now, so I might as well just fucking delete it.
Grape Nuts. The cereal of the SML podcast for some fucked up reason.
Grape Nuts are delicious. I think it's just because it says nuts in the name that I like it.
You like nuts in your mouth?
I like nuts in my mouth. I can't help myself.
Yeah. You want to hear something fucked up that I did this week?
Tell me.
I bought a new PS4.
What the hell is wrong with you?
There's you a story to it.
The one you got that much.
There's a story to it. Let me get it out there. A couple of months ago, the local GameStop was destroyed by a tornado. I'm pretty sure I talked about that on the show.
Yeah.
Well, they reopened, and when they open a new store, corporate just sends a bunch of weird shit to them. You know, games to put on the shelves, marketing stuff, accessories, everything else, and it's usually a weird hodgepodge of stuff. So you're gonna find some, you know, lesser known games there or some weird one-off items that were just laying in a warehouse. And they were sent one of the 500 million PS4 systems. That was the system that was released to celebrate them selling 500 million consoles.
Yeah,
limited to 50,000 worldwide. 2 terabyte PS4 Pro, sexy blue translucent plastic, and it looked awesome, and it was something that was just never sold in stores. They said that they had no clue how they got one, because they were sold out near instantly when pre-orders went live,
right?
And they had one there and it was brand new. So I traded in my PS4 and a shitload of games, and I ended up getting it out of pocket nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got a new PS4.
That is a crazy story. It's just going to sit and collect dust, but that's a crazy story.
It is such a nice looking console, though. It is beautiful.
But it's blue.
It's blue. That's why it's so beautiful.
I don't like blue.
Well, you're blue, an evil person.
Blue is the second worst color.
Well, fuck you.
True.
The worst part, though, is having to re-download like 2 terabytes worth of games.
I could see that being a problem, and I assume you have to like go out of your way to set your VR stuff back up.
No, I just plugged in and everything seemed to be good.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, luckily.
Well, that's a plus. It's a lot better experience than buying your Xbox One X was.
Yeah. That was a trip, but
still a better system, though.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to think I switched sides just because Joe had good luck on one PS4.
Oh, I've had worse luck on PlayStations than anything else. This is officially, I believe, my 8th PS4, but this one was voluntary.
Oh.
This change was voluntary.
That's awful.
Oh, if I were to count how many Xbox Ones I've gotten, it would easily be, God, let's see. I got the Day One Edition, then I got the Forza Edition, then I got the Battlefield S, and then I got the X, the Scorpio Edition, and then I also picked up just the standard X as well to have in my game room.
I have to admit, I'm on my third Xbox One, and I went through so many 360s. Oh, my God. Even my current 360 that I just got a few months ago is already dead.
What the hell did you do with it?
Huh?
What the hell did you do with it?
I'm not sure what happened. I think it may have got hit by a power surge, though, honestly. Because it's been in the girls' room. And they basically were just using it for a Netflix machine. Every now and then they play Goat Simulator. Because they're not allowed to play games unless it's the weekend anyway. But yeah, it's they tried to turn it on about a month ago and it had red light. So they killed it somehow. But I think it might have been a power surge because our... We had a couple of brownouts where the power would go.
Fun.
I think that's what hit it. But I am on my third Xbox One.
Voluntary or involuntary?
One was involuntary. One died a terrible death. I'm not sure what the deal with it was. It was something with the power brick. And that was the original Xbox One that I had got. And then I bought a replacement power brick. And then that one shit the bed too. And so I think something was shorted out in the Xbox that was killing the bricks.
Maybe.
Although even after I gave up fighting with it, number one still used it for like 3 or 4 months. Hmm. It would power on sometimes and other times it would not. And that was just one of those, you push the button, you go, please, please.
Fingers please? Crossed.
And then, we replaced that with my 1S. And then several months ago, back in the spring, somebody had an Xbox One on a trading site for $75. And so we bought that and we replaced the one that was dead and gave the $75 one to number one.
That works.
Yeah. So that's her and D share that Xbox. That way nobody's taking mine.
Get 70, your own fuckers. $75 is a hell of a price.
It was, yeah. What was funny though was like they had it marked that it was an Xbox One S and they didn't have any pictures of it. And then D got up there and it was not an Xbox One S. It was a fat Xbox.
Mm.
And she was like, yeah, it's an S. And he's like, you're not going to lie to me about this. I know the difference between a regular one and an S. This is a fat one. And that's fine, but you lied to me. But at that point, we'd already decided we were going to get it. He and number one needed their own Xbox. So he brought it anyway. But he gave her a hell of a tongue lashing and not in the good kind of way. For
that,
lying.
Save that one for you.
Yeah. those are Cole specials. but yeah, she lied her ass off on what it was, but it's fine.
That bitch.
Yeah, it's Facebook Marketplace. Of course they fucking lie about what they're selling you on there.
Fucking Facebook people.
You ever see people like, I don't know about everywhere else, but around here, there's a really big problem with people posting used underwear on the marketplace.
Really?
That's a thing. There's rumors, too. People say, oh, if people are posting that, what they're really trying to sell you are drugs.
Maybe.
But it's used underwear. That's just weird.
It's a lose-lose in my eyes.
I mean, there's a lot of risk to wearing somebody else's bloomers, but you know, to each their own.
Can you imagine like the perverted guy who's like, oh, I can't wait to buy these underwear. And then they get there. It's like meth. What the fuck is this shit?
There's always going to be that one dude too. I mean, to be fair, women's underwear that's been worn is a lucrative business. So what do I know? Maybe I'm the one sitting here criticizing this and they're fucking millionaires in redneck land.
How dare you swindle me with methadone, madame? I came here for some premium used panties, not your illicit substances.
Yeah, that's entirely plausible for what would be in it, too.
Oh, man. Speaking of drugs.
Speaking of drugs, not dicks, but drugs.
Speaking of drugs, I don't know. I don't have anywhere to go with that. There is a lot of news that we got to tackle this week, though.
Okay, go.
All right, we're going to start off. Games with Gold for November were announced.
Mm-hmm.
Decent lineup. Xbox One through the entire month of November is getting Battlefield 1. And then November 16th through December 15th is Race the Sun, which I haven't played that one, so I'm not sure
if that's... Oh, I liked Race the Sun.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's good. The map changes every day.
Does it?
Yeah, the map changes every day. It's a little different. It's basically like it's a set map, but you start in different areas of it. And just like it constantly feels different because it's so expansive. That's and cool. Every time you're in different areas, but you still kind of like get a little bit of muscle memory about how to deal with certain obstacles. But yeah, it's really neat that it changes daily.
That's one I don't even know if I own it or not.
Well, you're gonna.
Indeed, I am. And then Xbox 360, November 1st through the 15th, is the original Assassin's Creed, because they've given us every other goddamn Assassin's Creed.
I was actually excited about this, because it's this and Assassin's Creed Rogue were the only two I didn't own.
Well, now you'll own one of them.
I know. So now I just need Rogue to be part, and I'll give it about 6 months. And Origins, and that's probably about another year and a half.
Probably.
And then I'll have them all again.
Yeah. And then the rest of November is Dante's Inferno. So we're getting two EA games, two games that are part of EA Access as games with gold. I don't know how to feel about that.
I wondered about, you know, how you would feel about that as well, because I knew they were both in EA Access, but I don't currently have EA Access, and I have not played Dante's Inferno, and so I'm pretty goddamn excited. Like, for me, this is a good month, and Battlefield 1's DLC was all free recently, yeah. So I've got everything for Battlefield 1.
Yeah, the good thing with Dante's Inferno is that now I own it. Instead of EA Access is just as long as I'm subscribed. Yeah. Now it'll be mine for good.
Yay.
Which is what I really love about 360 games with gold is you own them for good.
Yay.
Hooray. What were you saying before I cut you off?
I don't remember now.
Good. On the flip side, PlayStation Plus was also announced for November, and they've got a pretty solid lineup as well. We already knew about Yakuza Kiwami and Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition for the PS4 because of the leak a couple weeks ago. PS3 is getting the Arkido series, which you may remember a couple of them from the Xbox 360 indie game section.
Nope, I don't remember them.
No?
No, nothing about them.
Well, they were cool little old school retro games. Okay. But a series of those, and then Jackbox Party Pack 2.
Oh, interesting. I mean, it's an older one, but maybe that'll get more people interested in Jackbox games.
Maybe. And then PlayStation Vita is getting Roundabout, also on PlayStation 4, and Burly Men at Sea, which is, again, also on PS4. So, pretty solid lineup for everybody all around.
Sounds pretty good.
Good stuff.
I'm happy.
Game Pass editions for November were also announced, and there's some pretty good stuff coming here. Sniper Elite 4, Sheltered, Rise and Shine, and Ollie Ollie 2 XL are all in there right now. Coming November 6th, Grip is launching direct to Game Pass, which is awesome.
Nice.
We will be covering that one probably next week on the show sometime. We'll be talking about that one, or over the weekend show, or one of them. I still call it a weekend show when it releases on Wednesday.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I can't help it. It's the one that I record over the weekend.
Good job, Joe.
Yeah, I know. I'm a genius. But yeah, I think that'll be on our Wednesday show, a review of Grip. We got Jacob covering that one.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's not throwing rice anymore. He's going to be racing and blowing shit up.
Maybe. I mean, you could throw a rice out the window while you're racing.
That'd be a fun weapon in a car combat game.
Right, because I don't know if that's a thing that people do everywhere else. Oh my God, I'm not drunk, I swear. But here, especially around Halloween, people will hide up in the bushes and stuff and hills that look over roads. And when cars go by, they throw corn kernels at your windshield. It sounds like you're being peppered by a shotgun.
That is so Southern.
I know. But I imagine dried rice would be fairly similar.
Well, that's another good saying for when interviews are going bad. Just say dried rice. But yeah, good Game Pass additions. There will be more revealed at the XO18 event happening later on this month in Mexico City.
Yep.
So I'm excited to see what happens there and what else gets added. I think someone was saying there's a possibility of Shadow of the Tomb Raider being added.
Wow.
Which would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be. I'm not so sure how likely it is, given that, you know, Square seems to be pretty up Sony's ass right now, but maybe it could happen.
Yeah, I feel like the Japanese side of Square is up Sony's ass and the American side of Square is cool with Xbox.
They play both sides.
It's weird.
They're video game company buy.
Yeah. I don't know. Speaking of things being added to different services, EA Sports UFC 3 is now in the EA Access Vault. So there's another addition.
If you didn't have enough reasons to give them $25 a year, here's another one.
Yeah.
Is this a newer game?
I think it came out earlier this year.
Yeah. They seem to be going about every 7 months post-release it gets added. So.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. Really not. I kind of wish that Ubisoft would do something similar. Although at this point, they just give us everything through Games with Gold after a couple years. So it's kind of the same.
Close.
I'm not mad at that either.
Very true. Let's see. What else? More additions to talk about. The backward compatibility list grew by 4 this week.
Wow, big week.
With Castlevania Lords of Shadow. Castlevania Lords of Shadow Mirror of Fate HD, Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2, and Just Cause.
That last one doesn't fit with the rest. One of these things is not like the other.
No, it's 4 new games added to the lineup, so that's exciting.
It is. It is good lineup, too, I guess. I mean, I'm not familiar with Castlevania, but I know it's popular, so I'm sure there's plenty of people that are happy.
Yeah, I had all of them except Lords of Shadow 2. I was like, oh, well, let me see what it's going for at GameStop. It was $10. I'm like, oh, that's not too bad. Maybe I'll swing up and pick that up sometime. Let me see what it is digital. $40.
Yikes.
So I went to GameStop and got their copy.
Damn.
Yeah, $40 digital. No, thank you.
They were pretending to be GameStop.
Yeah.
We're now backward compatible. Watch this.
Let's see. What other news is there? The Nintendo Switch is going to be getting some Resident Evil games in 2019. Capcom announced that Resident Evil, Resident Evil 0, and Resident Evil 4 are all going to be launching on the Switch. So horror on the go.
Do you really want to play horror games on the go? Like, do you want to be sitting on the bus playing Resident Evil and Fear Peak?
I won't lie, I'm probably going to pick up Resident Evil 4.
I would be surprised if you told me you weren't going to get any of them. If you told me you were going to get every one of them, I'd be like, well, duh. That's what you do.
Oh, you. That's not all the Nintendo news, though, because the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate Nintendo Direct just happened this week.
Yeah, that was
a lot of news coming from there as well. Ken from Street Fighter was announced as joining the game as an Echo Fighter for Ryu. I'm still going to call him Ryu. I don't care what people say. It's Ryu. He's always going to be Ryu to me.
I did not know that it was supposed to be Ryu.
Yeah.
Or maybe I did. Now that I've said it, I'm like, oh yeah, wait. But I think I only was familiar with it because there was a chick in one of my mom's groups who named her kid Ryu. And I remember her fussing at people for saying Ryu.
Well, I will forever call him Ryu from the game because that's what the voiceover was in the earlier game. So blow me, Capcom.
Can't change that shit midway.
Another Pokemon was added to the game, Incineroar, which apparently does a lot of...
That was actually a thing? Wait, yeah. I saw somebody mention that and I thought it was a meme.
No.
I thought they were just like being sarcastic, like, oh, we're going to add Pokemon and it was going to be like, you know, Mew or Mewtwo. I don't know if they're already in there or not. I don't know.
Mewtwo's already in the game.
But, you know, it was going to be like somebody that people knew and were excited about. And then all of a sudden they're like, in Citizen. I was like, ha, ha, who? So I thought it was funny and just a meme. I didn't realize that's who they were. And when the other one starts with a W, there were two, weren't there?
No, it was Ken and Incineroar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then. Yeah. So then the second one that was mentioned in that joke in that post must have been a joke, because I thought they both were.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just going off of the email I was sent today. I didn't even get a chance to watch the direct. I've been so busy today. So I'm just going off of the notes that are in the fucking email that Nintendo sent me.
Joe's unprepared for the show. No.
Very much so. They announced that there will be DLC fighters. There's going to be new fighters, stages, and music coming to the game all the way through the end of February 2020. So they're going to be supporting the game for quite a while.
Cycle. Yeah, that's not bad.
They're going to be sold in sets for $5.99 a piece, which includes a fighter, a stage, and a variety of music tracks. Or, of course, you could buy a fighter's pass for $24.99 and get access to everything. Obviously. People who pre-order the fighter pass get an in-game outfit based on Rex from Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which is nifty. And then if you buy digital, you could get bonus gold points for the game or for the DLC. So you could use that to buy other shit and all that other stuff. As something drives by on your end.
Four wheelers.
Another fighter was announced with Petey Piranha. Or no, not Petey Piranha, but just a piranha plant.
Piranha.
I think Petey Piranha is the final smash, but a piranha plant is going to be a playable character in the game.
I thought it was incredible. They were like, piranha plant pipes up, and you're like, oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, that should be pretty awesome. They went into detail on new assist trophies like the Fly Swatter from Mario Paint, Guile from Street Fighter, Isaac from Golden Sun. They went into detail on the adventure mode. They gave details and dates on new amiibo, including Inkling, Ridley, Wolf, Ice Climbers, Piranha Plant. There's just so much shit in this fucking direct. There's so much. I can't even go over it all. Just watch the direct. I think I covered all the important stuff.
Why are you listening to us anyway?
I'm happy that there's going to be more characters with DLC, though, because that still leaves the door open for Banjo-Kazooie.
Crap.
The hope is going to stay alive. I can't let it die.
At this point, doesn't Bowsette need to be one? Like, the internet has decided it, so there it is.
It might be. You never know.
I actually saw art where somebody did a Bowsette, too.
Bowsette.
Oh, yeah. That's probably the best one I've seen yet.
I have not seen a Bowsette.
I'll have to see if I can find it again.
That sounds alcoholic.
I'm a little disappointed now that you put it that way.
Let's see. What other news do we have?
Ghostly martini.
Some non-Nintendo news. Activision has confirmed that despite the delay, the Spyro trilogy is still going to require an update for full access to Spyro 2 and 3.
I'm okay with that, but I know there's plenty of people who are not.
Like, they delayed it. Why wouldn't they use that time to just include everything on the goddamn disc?
Joe, have you seen how pretty it looks, though?
Yeah, it does look good.
I can forgive anything if you give me Spyro that looks like that. Or just Spyro. It could have still been ugly, and I would have been happy because fucking Spyro.
Yeah.
But now they took Spyro and made it pretty, and I'm just in here like, they could piss on me and tell me it was raining, and I'd be fine as long as it involved little Spyros in the piss.
The funny thing is, Ashley is a huge Spyro fan, and I told her about the game, and I showed her pictures, and she's like, that's not Spyro. Like, what are you talking about? She's like, Spyro doesn't look that good.
I'm glad to see it look that good, though. Like, it's been so long, and graphics have come so far. Like, you finally get to see it the way it was kind of meant to have been in the first place.
Yeah, she just wants it to look like it did on the original PlayStation, which whatever.
I wonder, though, They could do a mode, I guess, where like you could flip for retro graphics. That would be kind of cool if you could flip between them like that. Wonder Boy did that.
Yeah, but I think the Spyro games have just been completely remade from the ground up. It's not just like a skin on top of the old engine.
No, it's not, I don't think.
No.
Which is fine, but still, maybe, I don't know, maybe there'll be some kind of little Easter egg for the vintage appearance somewhere. Don't dash my hopes and dreams, damn it.
People were hoping that we would see Spyro or Crash on that PlayStation Classic coming out, but they revealed the full lineup of games on that and no purrs.
That is a shitty list, man. Okay, well, go ahead and go with it first, but...
All right, so the PlayStation Classic has unveiled the full list of games on the console, and here they are. Battle Arena Toshinden, Cool Borders 2, Destruction Derby, Final Fantasy VII, Grand Theft Auto, Intelligent Cube, Jumping Flash, Metal Gear Solid, Mr. Driller, Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, Rayman, Resident Evil Director's Cut, Revelations Persona, Ridge Racer Type 4, Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, Siphon Filter, Tekken 3, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, Twisted Metal, and Wild Arms.
Yep, still sucks, even listening to it now.
I mean, there's some legit good stuff on there, but there's so many inclusions that puzzle me.
Do you remember the one game I said would get my attention?
Yes, Parasite Eve.
It's on the Japanese version.
Yeah, just like the NES Classic, there's a different lineup for Japan. Japan is not getting Cool Borders, Destruction Derby, Grand Theft Auto, Oddworld, Rayman, Siphon Filter, Rainbow Six, and Twisted Metal. But instead, they're getting Ark the Lad, Ark the Lad 2, Armored Core, Gradius Gaiden, Devil Dice, or Z-Zai, however they say it over there. The American name was Devil Dice. Saga Frontier, G. Darius, and Parasite Eve. So those fuckers kept Parasite Eve locked to the Japanese system.
That is such a weird game to keep. I don't know. I'm mad about it. I was already mad about it because I wasn't expecting Parasite Eve at all.
Yeah.
So now the fact that it is on there, but it's locked to the Japan console, just makes me that much madder.
See, I would totally want to import the Japanese one to get Saga Frontier, Parasite Eve, and the Ark the Lad games. Because that's more RPGs.
Yeah.
But they'd be in Japanese.
Yeah.
That's the point.
And I don't imagine importing them is particularly cheap.
I don't know.
If you do it, can I borrow it for Parasite Eve?
Oh, I'm not going to import it. There's no
But
way.
If you do, I want to borrow
if it. I do, sure, you can borrow it.
Yay!
But yeah, a lot of people...
How easy it was to make me happy.
A lot of people are upset. There's a lot of big franchises that aren't included. Like when you think of the original PlayStation, you think Gran Turismo, Tony Hawk, Tomb Raider, Wipeout. None of those are included. No Parappa, no Tomba, no Legend of Dragoon, no Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Obviously, there's no Spyro or Crash. And they have Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, but not an actual Street Fighter fighting game.
It is a really weird lineup.
I don't get it. I don't know if I want to keep my pre-order or not, because I have $10 down at GameStop. You know, for those who still care, it's coming out December 3rd for $100. It's still a decent lineup of games, and like Intelligent Cube alone is kind of worth it, because that's an expensive fucking game. They're such a missed opportunity with some of the games.
I'm still kind of wondering why Grand Theft Auto in the first place. Like, that's not a tantamount game I think of when I think of a PlayStation. I'm not like, oh my god, you said Gran Turismo, and that would be my first thing to think of.
Yeah.
Because that's what I remember playing on a PlayStation. Gran Turismo and Spyro and Devil May Cry. And so, which, thank goodness they don't have Devil May Cry, because if they did, we wouldn't be getting that shit on Xbox, and it would just be awful, and I'd have to murder somebody. I didn't say that out loud. Please don't come arrest me. But
I like Dark Mika saying, I can understand No Legend of Dragoon, because it didn't sell well in the U.S. How the fuck do you think Mr. Driller sold?
Yeah.
Jumping Flash did not set the sales charts ablaze. Revelations Persona is probably the worst Persona game out there. It did not age well at all. Like, there's some borderline racist shit in that game. It didn't age well. Atlas themselves have tried to distance themselves from the game, and it's included on this fucking thing. What the hell?
Yeah, that's really weird. I know that the Persona games are pretty questionable anyway. I don't think I've ever played them, and I don't remember much about them. I'm just familiar with the name as one of those that I believe I looked up enough to be like, yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah.
So it's, you know.
I don't know. I think I might still keep it, just, you know, I have the NES Classic. I have the SNES Classic. It would just, you know, there's room on my TV stand waiting for a little mini PlayStation. But I feel like I kind of have to keep it, but I don't know. I wish there were better games
somewhere
on there. Believe it or not.
God damn.
Yeah, it's such a weird game lineup, though. I don't know. Whatever.
Now I want Parappa the Rapper.
Kick, punch. It's all in the mind. I'm guessing they didn't include Parappa because they have the remastered one on PS4.
Oh, is there? I didn't know there was a remaster.
Yeah. Same with Symphony of the Night just got re-released on PS4. That's probably why that's not included. I think that's one of the biggest omissions, though. Symphony of the Night. I think PlayStation, I think Symphony of the Night.
I haven't played it. I didn't play it, but I'm familiar with it, so.
Well, it's playable on Xbox One, so chop chop.
So fuck off, PlayStation. No, I'm sorry. I gotta quit that.
We want them to like us eventually.
My bad.
But yeah, that's the news I got. Any other news on your end?
Yeah, I know we're on Twitch, but Mixer has announced their season 2 update, and they're changing things over there. And it seems like they're trying to get a little more competitive with Twitch. Unfortunately, they haven't added anything in the way of like the affiliate program, which we benefit from. So, you know,
Give
us your Twitch Prime subs, but.
Money.
Yeah. They did add in the Sparks, if you remember from our short little time on Mixer. The Sparks that you earn while watching a channel, you can now use to effectively cheer. You can buy a sticker or a GIF or something to show up.
Did you say GIF?
Somebody's going to get me. Yeah.
You said GIF.
don't get me off topic. We'll get confused here.
Oh no, this needs to be addressed.
That is how the creator of it pronounces.
I don't give a fuck what the creator wants. Just like Ryu. That is a GIF. For years and years and years, people called them GIFs. Just because one dipshit says, oh no, it's pronounced GIF, like the peanut butter. Fuck you, it's graphics format.
Cheesy moms choose GIFs.
Fuck that. I don't give a shit what the creator calls it. That is a GIF. The end. This show, the SML podcast, calls them GIFs.
GIFs. Anyway. You can cheer. They don't call it cheering because they call it a sticker. You can add all kinds of stuff in chat. You can make little fireworks go off and all kinds of cool shit. And you pay your sparks in order to do that, which you've always done, but it's always been for no good reason. Well, now those sparks go toward benefiting the streamers and they can use them effectively like bits. I don't think it's got the same like monetary value ratio like bits on Twitch have compared to the sparks on Mixer, primarily because I've seen when I was watching a channel earlier, it was like 5 million sparks to equal $250.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's not that same, like one spark is one penny. However, much like when you used to be able to watch ads for bits on Twitch, which I haven't been able to do in almost a year. You can still do it on mobile, but you only get like two bits per ad.
Yay.
Yeah, it's so helpful. You just earn sparks on Mixer the whole time you're watching. So I think it's like 2 every 30 seconds or something like that. It's really kind of rapid fire. And even I've got over 200,000 just sitting there that I've had, you know, since like it started. And if you have Mixer Pro, then you earn even more when you're watching. So you can effectively kind of just spark farm and just leave it on a channel. Watch it.
I've kind of been spark farming because I've been influence farming for Forza.
That's the thing too. If you're influence farming on Forza, you're going to be stacking up the sparks. And so then you can use them to benefit streamers that you do actually watch and enjoy.
Let me change windows. I'm at 115,000 sparks.
Get good. No, I got 200. I have 200, like 203 or something like that. But I have used mine in the past because there was one point where I was like, oh, I have like 500,000 and there's literally nothing to do with them. So I wasn't overly concerned. And anytime there was an option to use them, I just did because I didn't realize they were going to, like, you kind of hoped there would be some kind of effect like that where like, oh, if I could use these to actually benefit streamer, that'd be great. But you didn't see them actually breaking down and making that a possibility. But I did, and you can earn them just by watching and then turn around and support, which is, I think, is really a good way to go about it. I wish that Twitch had kept it to where you could earn a substantial amount from watching ads. I think it used to be like 100 bits a day I could get just watching a couple of ads, which, you know, isn't much, but it amounts to a dollar, and that's a dollar for, you know, some streamers, a dollar is a big deal. So
for us, like a dollar is a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, you want to give us 10 bitties? That's 10 cents. And fucking thank you.
And that's why I thank everyone who drops a bit on the show, because they don't have to give us that money. Right. But they do. Very nice. And they're awesome.
And when you set up the bar to refitty your shitty compitty, you didn't think it was ever going to get anything.
And yeah, now we're almost at 15%.
Right? It's awesome.
It's moving. So. It's going to get there in a couple years.
But there are people complaining about the Mixer thing because it does, again, it only benefits partners. So if you're a streamer and you haven't made partner and they don't have any kind of affiliate program like Twitch does.
Yeah.
So you're still SOL if you're a small streamer. So I don't know. I would like to see them be able to go to use for smaller streamers as well. But
yeah,
at least it's a step in the right direction.
If Mixer does eventually start something similar to affiliates on Twitch, I could see myself trying Mixer again.
Yeah.
But, you know, as it stands, I can actually get a couple of bucks on Twitch, so we're sticking with Twitch.
Mm-hmm. Mixer's requirements for partner are a lot lower than Twitch's. Although I don't know what Twitch's is for follows and stuff anymore, because they've changed it a lot. But like I said, I think Mixer is only like 2,000. And even still, if you have like a niche kind of thing and you've got a healthy community, they don't always tell you no just because of low numbers.
No.
So.
No time saying go back to Mixer. Hey, when they pay me, I will.
Yeah.
When that option is there.
If you have buddies in high places over there, then you need to
put in a good word for us.
Put in a word. In the meantime, thank you for the 200 biddies.
Exactly. See, and that is why we're sticking on Twitch. Because you can give us biddies on Twitch. So thank you, No Time. Much appreciated.
He said he'll pay us.
So any other news, or is that it?
I think that was it. I probably had other things that I've long since forgotten. That's fine.
That's okay. Speedrun.
Yeah, now that we're, you know, an hour in.
We're only 40 minutes in.
That's because we got a late start because shit was broken.
Yay for borked shit. Review time. We got a handful of reviews to go through today. We're going to start things off. I'm excited about this one. Lego Harry Potter Collection, developed by Travertale Games, published by Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment, released October 30th on Xbox One and Switch for $39.99. Lego Harry Potter Collection brings Lego Harry Potter Years 1 to 4 and Lego Harry Potter Years 5 to 7 remastered. This compilation unites the creative prowess of Lego and the expansive world of Harry Potter with an exciting journey full of spellcasting, potion making, puzzle solving, lessons, dueling, and much more for players of all ages to enjoy. Cole, tell us about this one.
I'm going to tell you that my daughter mostly played this one. And I couldn't get it away from her. Number one is a devout Hufflepuff and a very hardcore Harry Potter fan. So this was all up her alley. And my review is 98% of mom, don't forget to talk about this. So this is a classic Lego game experience to the core. If you've played pretty much any Lego game, you already know what you're getting into. If you have not played this before, as far as a remaster goes, it's really good quality. The graphics look great. It's aged well. I was very impressed with it. Controls were very functional. Everything was good as far as the remaster part goes. It does include both Lego Harry Potter games. So it includes basically when it comes up and you choose, do you want to do years 1 through 4 or years 5 through 7? So it's the entire Harry Potter experience all bundled up together in one spot.
I got to say, I was kind of hoping that they would unify it into one massive game instead of pick one game or pick the other. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that at first. And then, I remember even number one saying, well, why didn't they just break it down year one, year two, and make it one big cohesive list and you just choose what year you wanted to play?
Yeah.
But yeah, then I was like, oh, that's the point where I had to explain to her that it was a remaster and originally on 360. And then she gave me this look like, why didn't you let me play this before? And it's a miracle I'm still alive.
I loved these two. I have 1,000 on both of them on 360.
That's impressive because 1,000, getting 1,000 on these, Lego games is no easy feat.
Well, they're not hard. They're just really time consuming.
Yeah. They're not difficult. And that was one of the biggest things I wanted to bring up about it as far as the difficulty goes. Number three was playing just fine, taking out bosses and everything.
Well, the Lego games have always been good for younger audiences. They've always been just good all ages titles.
Yeah. And that is a big thing. Number one's 14. And she has spent an obscene amount of time this week. Every time I've walked by her room, it's just been Harry Potter. She's played literally nothing else.
Harry Potter.
And then the fact that, number one can play it and she enjoys it despite being 14. And yet here's number three and she's 5 and she picks it up and she can play it and she enjoys it. And they were split screening together. And it's so hard to find games where number one doesn't spend her whole time split screening with number three, bitching about number three, not knowing what she's doing. It's a little better with number two because she's a little older and she can hold her own. But number three, she's got wander off syndrome and she will just go. That did bring up the first problem we had with the game, though, because number three is a wanderer. When you play in split screen, there was an issue that we kept having where if they got too far from each other while playing, then the camera would kind of go haywire. And didn't really know where to focus at. So it was kind of difficult. Number one would be trying to solve a puzzle and number three's off looking for Lego bricks. And then there goes the whole screen just going haywire. And that was the only time we really had an issue of number three needs to stick with number one. Get your ass back over on the other side of the room. it was just such an odd glitch. I imagine it's something that can be patched out, but it was just the camera would go haywire and it was only in split screen that it was a problem. If you're playing solo, you're fine. However, if you're playing solo, you got another problem to deal with. I'm not sure if you experienced this, Joe, but number one, when I was watching her play, during boss battles, she would have issues where she would spawn in. And because there's no invincibility frames when you spawn in like that, she would just like immediately be grabbed by the boss again. And it would be like a continuous loop of just spawning and immediately dying again.
Yeah.
So there was that little... That's when
you just swap characters.
Yeah. And then when she would swap characters, like there would, it would kind of lock it and not let her swap from time to time. And then she would swap and then wouldn't be able to control the character. Like it would be kind of frozen while the other one's just dying. So,
yeah, I've never ran into that before.
Yeah, that was one of those where it happened on her Xbox. She has the old fat Xbox and I have the Xbox One S, and we actually brought her in here to test it on the One S just to see if it was like an Xbox console problem, but it happened on both. Like she was getting, I think she said it was year three when you go against the spider. That was the one that it was happening the worst on, though it was kind of a problem that was reoccurring with all the bosses. But the spider was the one that she complained the most about. As far as gameplay goes, you play through as the characters from Harry Potter. Of course, you're Hermione and Ron and Hagrid and all the cool Harry Potter characters. And you go through the whole, you know, Hogwarts experience over the course of the 7 years, which is really awesome. There were a few things that number one got a little miffed about because there's some differences in the story between the game and the books and the movies. And so she like went on this big, long 45-minute rant about the differences while I sit here with my eyes glossed over. I totally listened to it.
Well, we don't have time for all 45 minutes of it.
I know. I didn't. I started doing the mindless scribbling, so she thought I was taking notes.
You're a terrible parent.
I know. Other than that, she had a great time. It was really cool to watch them play together. They were all passing the controllers back and forth, and sometimes it'd be one and two, sometimes it'd be one and three, sometimes it'd be two and three. So they really had a good time. The AI during boss battles when you're playing single player is kind of useless.
AI in Lego games is always useless.
They don't do much. I thought when I was playing it, I didn't have such a hard time, except for, again, the boss battles were a pain. But like, I was kind of impressed that there's instances where, you know, you need one character to stand on a table while another levitates it. And like the AI would take over the levitating spell and do that and it'd be fine. But during boss battles and stuff, they would just kind of stand there. You're like, you have a wand too, hell. But otherwise, it was a lot of fun.
I agree. I'm having a blast with it. I actually had this one pre-ordered. I love these two. These are probably two of my favorite Lego games. And I think I own all of the current Lego games that are out right now.
I've got to say, we have quite a few of the last few Lego games. Number three has absolutely lost her shit over the Lego games the last year or so. And this has definitely been the favorite of them in the house.
I love that it feels like an older Lego game. Well, it technically is an older Lego game, but the newer ones have gotten so big in such huge open worlds that they're just too overwhelming. This keeps it more simple, smaller, more concise, and I really loved it. For $40, if you've never played either of these two games before, I think it's a steal and absolutely worth buying.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a buy it.
Awesome. I am so happy that numbers 1 through 3 enjoyed this.
Doc Avick said if she really wants to lose her mind, have her read the book. She has. She read them twice. She read them in 5th grade and again in 7th. So, and they're in there on her bookcase. That was part of the whole 45-minute tirade from her, was just like comparing all three of them. And I'm just, I drowned her out. I did. God love her, but I was like, I have headphones on. Yeah, like a lot of parents talk about how their kids constantly talk about Minecraft and they're not gamers, so they don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is she's a Hufflepuff.
The words are like Charlie Brown, where it's just womp, 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 womp. Now demand a 10-page dissertation concerning the differences between the book and movie version of Goblet of Fire.
She could do
it. Doc, you're evil.
She could do it. That's the terrible part.
Oh, boy. Anyway, next game to talk about is called The One We Found, developed and published by Loveridge Designs, released October 31st on Xbox One and Steam for $19.99. Fear, combat, exploration, item management. These are the four staples of any survival horror game. The One We Found captures this genre and redefines it into an immersive, horrifying experience. Feel terrified as you immerse yourself in the world of Whisperwood Mental Institution. Cole, first up, Fear P?
Yeah. No, but I did scream once.
Nice.
Like, the first time, well, I'll get there in a second, but the first time I encountered an enemy, shit got a little sideways. to start off with this one, there's a disclaimer at the very beginning that warns you that the game plays a legitimate fear sound that has been known to incite fear in people the entire duration of the game. The thing is that you don't, like, audibly hear it to where you go, oh, that's a scary sound. It's just one of those kind of subconscious things.
Ambient noise kind of deal.
Yeah, and so it will absolutely freak you the fuck out. And it even goes so far in the disclaimer to say this sound is known to cause panic attacks and anxiety. And if you find yourself having shortness of breath or chest pains, turn the game off and go to a doctor. That's the disclaimer before you even start.
Damn.
So, you know, if you already have issues with any of that, move along. Nothing to see here. Everything's fine. there might be some rainbows later. I don't know, but not here. There's no rainbows here. Now, as for the actual game, this is kind of your typical horror experience that we all see and we're used to. We know exactly what we're going into when you go into a game like this. It's first person perspective, and you're going to be exploring somewhere creepy as fuck. There's probably going to be puzzles, and there's going to be shit that scares you. So, we start off with a psychotherapist who is going to Whisperwood Mental Institute, and shit has gone very sideways here. And his whole goal is to figure out what's really happened, to uncover the truth, as it usually is in a horror game. It does not take long to realize that things are very wrong here, because a large part of the asylum is just chock plum full of dead bodies.
Yay.
Here's a sheet covered corpse, and there's a sheet covered corpse, and oh, by the way, there's some dude sitting in the corner rocking back and forth to a gramophone. And if you turn that gramophone off, you get an achievement, and it says he didn't deserve that. Poor Mortimer.
Of course there's an of course you'll talk about achievements.
Yeah, because they're important. You get an achievement for there are watermelons scattered around in this place, and I don't understand why. And you get an achievement if you shoot one.
Well, that's why they're there, I guess.
It's just so out of place. Beyond that, everything else is fine.
Yeah.
There is combat, which we don't see as much. And it's funny that in the summary, they're like, oh, you know, combat. And it's like, no. Because combat has kind of phased its way out of horror at this point, and we focus more, you know, on the survival and the hope, you know, helplessness and hopelessness aspect of it. But there is combat. You can find a gun. You can play the game without finding the gun, but eventually you're going to need the gun. Ideally, you're going to be looking around. You're going to be uncovering clues. You'll have your flashlight. Very much like Outlast, your batteries go dead. If you've played Outlast and the batteries die in the camera and you're constantly looking for more batteries, that's a mechanic that they use, but they're not light on batteries. You're going to find batteries fucking everywhere. And then you're going to be sitting there like trying to figure out how to discard stuff out of your inventory because you've got batteries and can't carry anything else. the combat, again, though, to go back to it, the enemies that you're going to encounter are a little lackluster. They don't really feel like enemies. They kind of feel like they're put there in an effort to make it scarier, but you could have played the game without them and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
There's one really cool one that you're going to interact with. She's kind of like a ghostly, you know, phantom kind of thing that's lurking around in one area. And she just whistles this creepy tune and she's kind of humming and it's terrifying. And it actually reminded me a lot of Home Sweet Home with that box cutter and trying to hide in lockers.
Oh, God.
Because in this area, you have to hide in the locker while the phantom goes by. But you're only in this area for a few moments while you're looking for a code for a lock. So it's not like it's something that you have to interact with. And oddly enough, despite the whole, you know, find a gun so you're okay, you can't shoot her. She doesn't give a fuck. She's going to eat your face either way you slice it. So hide in the locker, wait till she's gone, get the code, get the fuck out. Whereas the other enemies that you're going to run into, like if they were all like that, it would have been a little cooler, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The other enemies you're going to run into, they're kind of like copy pasted a sane asylum patient zombies. They're not dead, I don't think, but they're not quite alive either. You're not really sure what they're doing, but they're going to, if they see you, they're going to come after you, and then you're going to have to shoot somebody.
Pew,
it's okay, though. You're going to get an achievement for it, so it's fine.
So achievements aside, do you have any negatives for the game, or is this all just solid, good, piss-yourself kind of horror?
No, it's not. It's really... When it comes to these horror games, being ugly is kind of standard fare. It's not meant to be rainbows and sunshine and pretty, but this one kind of goes a little over the top in the graphics being low quality. And it just kind of, you know, it feels like an old 360 game. That's kind of a shame. It would have been nice if there was just a little more polish going on. It's really crazy because there are some pretty big shifts to the locations and the settings, but it's never really fleshed out because it's all just limited to the little circle that you can see with your flashlight. And so you never really feel like you can get a real feel for the scenery. And in most instances, I would be like, okay, well, everything's dark, and so it's a little ugly, and so you can kind of forgive it because it's not like you're going to be paying that much attention to it. Mm-hmm. But the change in the scenery is a big plot point. And so when you can see that it doesn't look that great, it's a bit of a letdown. So with the lower quality, you know, graphics and the kind of copy-paste enemies that you could really do without, you know, those are the two biggest marks on the game. The inventory system is also really bad. It is not ported for controller at all. In fact, it's one of those where it actually wants you to double click on the A to do anything.
Wow. Or
double click on the X. And you're like, what? No, we don't. Who clicks twice to use a battery? What is this? And it took me forever to figure out how to actually make anything happen because it was just like, okay, but I'm clicking it and I'm not clicking it fast enough because you got to double click it. And it's like, because it just says A button times two, which is weird on its own, but it doesn't tell you got to do that shit fast. I'm old and arthritic. I don't do shit fast. And then to top it off, when you're in your inventory, you're not safe from enemies. The game doesn't pause. So you can be in your inventory and be trying to finagle your way around to put one damn battery in your flashlight or to hopefully switch your weapons if you find a better one. And then you just get pummeled by a zombie patient person who come out of nowhere. And it's kind of a pain in the ass because you have to start again. And there are some super long load times. Holy shit. Like, I think it's a joke on their part that the load times are so long, because it doesn't just say 14%, 15%. It's like a 6-digit numerical code.
Oh, God. For the
loading, because it's just like, well, at least maybe something moved. Maybe it loaded somewhere. And you're going to get to a point where you have to wait for it to load. And you're like, well, I'm going to go get a pop. I'll be back in a few minutes. Pop and a pee break. That way I don't pee when it, you know, jumps up and scares me. That wouldn't be that bad if you were in the levels. There's 11 chapters. And it wouldn't be that bad if you were in them for a long period of time. But some of the chapters you might only be in for literally 2 or 3 minutes before you're right back at a load screen waiting for the next chapter.
Oh, man.
So, it's one of those games where there's a lot of good, but boy, there's a lot of iffy shit on the other side too.
Well, overall, what are your thoughts on it for $20?
$20 is kind of a high price for it. I'm not going to lie. I still give it a try it, but maybe wait for a sale.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It's just...
But hey, it got a scream out of you.
It did. That chick with the hum. I'm telling you, there's something about a lone ghostly chick lurking around in a dark room that I'm afraid of.
Well, shifting gears once again, we are now going to talk about Mega Dimension Neptunia V2R, developed by Idea Factory and Compileheart, published by Idea Factory International, released October 22nd on Steam for $39.99. This enhanced version of 2016's Mega Dimension Neptunia V2 features smoother graphics, courtesy of a new engine, a revamped battle system, and a whole new VR experience. Now their dimensions are yours and connected. I can't talk. Anyway, Dark Mika covered this one, wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. Mega Dimension Neptunia V2R is a turn-based action game, which kinda isn't for kids. Man, these games are meta worlds, honestly. The concept behind the game is video game consoles and the like have their own world. You've probably seen weird pictures of, like, the Xbox if it were humanoid. Yeah, that's the Neptunia games in a nutshell. Because of this, the stories are all interconnected and out there, and at the same time completely disconnected from each other. In this one, you play as the player, a mysterious person in the real world who's playing a game that influences all of these girls' lives. Oh yeah, all of the humanoid systems, they're all girls, cause, Japan. You're playing games as the girls, so the player is kinda just a middleman that doesn't matter much. The player, only exists in the game specifically, not in the V2 version. It was created because they remade V2 into V2R by adding VR. Did you get all that?
No. I got lost at Japan Girls.
Anyway, the game also got upgrades to graphics and some combat tweaks from the original title. The graphics are significantly better. That being said, it's still a cartoon look that just wants, the game. What the hell, Dark Mika? It's still a cartoon look that's just what the game goes for in general, always has, but the environments still look a lot better, colors were modified, art completely redone to create much better dungeons and in-dungeon cutscenes. The standard cutscenes outside the dungeons don't look to have changed at all. My only gripe with the visuals is that the item boxes, which are floaty squares, in the original they were super easy to see. In R, though, they're hard to see, but they are located in the same places as the original, so there's that. If you remember where they are, you're all good. The combat's change isn't super huge, as it was just tweaks and not an overhaul. The tweaks made the game easier in some areas and harder in others. The combo system is easier to understand, however, it's harder for the enemy to use weak... However, it's harder to use for enemy weaknesses. In the original, when you started a combo, it would show you what the monster was weak to by showing all the combos you had set up. But in the R version, you don't see them because you just pick each part of the combo instead of setting up various combos prior. So making combos is easier in the R version, since you can make it on the fly every attack instead of being shoehorned into just 3 variations that you can change outside of combat. Dark Mika, come on. Combat. However, you don't get informed of enemy weaknesses anymore, or at least I can't find where it shows them. Special moves have also changed. Your SP meter feels significantly faster, and it feels different, but I'm not really sure why. Seems the same for the most part, but something just feels different about the SP system. The main menu has also changed. Instead of having sections for each group, like audio and graphics, now it's all grouped together in one single giant box, which just makes a lot more information thrown in your face all at once. Personally, don't like the new main menu, but I don't think this is going to bother most people, and it's not like you need to see it very often. They, however, did remove manual saving at save points, and just straight up remove save points. I really don't like that, as I don't trust or like autosaves in general. However, again, this isn't really a big issue for most people, since these games always have New Game Plus and actively has multiple endings for the game, each requiring you to do different things in your playthrough. The main difference is they added VR. You don't need a headset for it. You can do it with your controller to look around and answer questions by shaking your head yes and no. However, with the controller, it doesn't like to register the yes and no's properly all the time. As you have to go up or down, or vice versa for a yes, it has to register both the up and the down, and sometimes it just doesn't, which makes the system kind of a pain in the ass. Joe can tell you about the actual VR headbit himself, which I did a couple of months ago. We covered this on the PS4. It's kind of just, you're in a room with the girl, and it's just kind of like a conversation back and forth where she'll talk to you and you nod your head yes or no, and it's fan service. That's all it is. She even says, that being said, it's all fan service, which is a very Japanese thing, and audiences outside might find it kind of creepy. A little. I can see that.
Yeah, that's jiggle physics and all.
For $40 on Steam, it's worth it. The graphical upgrades alone make it a lot easier on the eyes, and honestly, I just like the series in general. They're really funny games. Sounds good. I am glad Thanks. You enjoyed it. I enjoyed it as well. And did we just get through an entire Dark Mika review without her saying fuck?
I think so.
I don't remember her saying fuck in that one.
I don't recall the word fuck either. Like, quick, do like press Control F and do a search and see if it says fuck in it.
Let me see. Control F. Fuck. Zero. Oh my god.
Wow.
Oh my god. I don't know what to do now.
Do you have a code you can give her and be like, here, congratulations. You did something Cole can't do.
Anyway, moving on. Next game to talk about is called Doodle God Crime City, developed and published by JoyBits. It's releasing November 8th on Xbox One for $6.99. Crime does pay. Play as a gangster or a cop, over 500 puzzles to solve and items to create. Watch your crime city come alive as you play. Cole, tell us about this one.
I'd love to. If I could play it. We had some issues with Doodle God Crime City. There's an app agreement that comes up at the beginning of the game that when it first came up, the first time I encountered it, I was able to use the controller, press yes, it pops up a browser window. It's like, you know, do you agree for the app to have access to all that shit? That's a reoccurring thing that's been coming up for the last few months now on a lot of indie games. I've even seen it on some AAAs. I don't know why, but it just does. Most time, click, yeah, you can access my shit and I'm fine.
Yeah.
And carry on and play. This one, though, you said it happened to you the first time you played.
Yeah, the first time I played, it popped up instead of the normal, like, Xbox system window, it popped up in a browser-style window.
Right. And this is what it did to me the second time. Click or
do anything.
Yeah, this is what it did to me the second time I launched it. The first time, I'm pretty sure I had the gray window, because I remember pressing the controller button and seeing the splash screen and everything was fine. And then I was like, I'll come back to it. And I went back and played it a little later. I didn't actually close the game that time. I just left it idling, but I was on the home screen. Okay. And I didn't have any problem when I went back to it. The second time I launched it, I had the same problem as you, where the controller button wouldn't work, but plugging in a keyboard to the Xbox did.
Yeah, you were able to tab to the yes and accept the agreement.
Right.
This is clearly not a knock on the game. This is probably something on Microsoft's end where they changed something. But whatever they changed, they need to fucking fix it badly. Right.
I actually had a problem the third time as well. And this time, I had closed the game in between plays. And I launched it, and it will come up to the doodlegod.com screen, the little splash screen. and then it never goes anywhere. I don't get anything from Xbox saying that it took too long to launch for like 5, 6, 7 minutes. So I said, okay, fine. I uninstalled it and I reinstalled it. Still doing it. Power cycled the Xbox, uninstalled, reinstalled again. I can't get it to go past the screen anymore. Now, for the game itself, beyond that, what I actually got to play is a really neat concept. I have the first Doodle Guy game, but I didn't ever get around to playing it. So this was a new experience for me, and I didn't really know what to expect going into it.
Same here.
But you have like a little notebook, and there are little mini campaigns, if you will. And one is from the side of the criminals, and then you play through the same scenario again, but from the point of view of the police officers. So then, you, like I said, you have the little notebook, and you'll have circles that kind of indicate different categories. You click on those, and you can see what elements you have in that category. You want to match up elements from two different categories to create new elements that will progress the story. So if you have a category that's places, and you have, say, just the city, and then you'll have another category with an element that says explore. If you click element for explore, as well as the element for the city, then it will come up and say, okay, well, now you have a street and a parking lot. And then you can continue to explore and receive different elements to, like I said, to progress the story.
It's kind of like mixing and matching things and trying to find what elements work with each other.
Right.
Like person and metal bar turns into weapon.
Right.
A person plus weapon equals robber. Or, you know, just different situations like that. I personally found the game really confusing the first time I started it.
Right.
I don't know if there was a tutorial in the original Doodle God, but there was no kind of tutorial or anything in this game outside of click this, this happens, now do it yourself.
Yeah, it just kind of throws you into the deep end. And it took several tries playing through the robber side to start off with the criminal side to even just like get my bearings about what I was trying to do. I can't tell you how many times I put the gun and the car together thinking he would take the gun and get in the car. Only instead he shoots the car and blows himself up and game over, try again. And then I'm standing there going, I did it again, didn't I?
Proud of you.
I'm so good at this game. Once I got the hang of what I was doing, though, I really enjoyed it. It's a really neat concept of as far as a way to play goes. And I like these kind of like just randomly match it and see what happens. Like I just found myself trying to come up with really odd combinations just, and then I would magically like murder a robber and be like, shit, I hope that doesn't come back to bite me in the ass.
Like a gun plus person calms them down, gun plus person again fucking shoots them.
Yeah.
And then explore person and you get a key off of them and then you just drive away.
Yeah. You're like, well, I hope I did that right. And then
peace, bitches.
Like the putting the cars together made in the cop side made a police chase. And then you're like, look, if there's anything this game has taught me, it's that don't put cars and guns together. But you have to. But you don't blow anybody up this time. You get a flat tire. But then I set forever with the flat tire. Like, I have no idea how to put this together to progress. What am I supposed to be doing? You have to put a flat tire together with a stolen car to cause a crash. But now that you've caused this crash, oh, well, the car hit somebody on a bicycle, and now you got to call an ambulance, and now you've got to create an ambulance somehow from the elements that you have. And you're like, I'm pretty sure a cop would just be able to call it in on his radio. I don't think it would be this complicated for him, but okay. Whatever, I'm just clicking hopelessly. Eventually, I'm going to get an ambulance. And then you get the ambulance, and then you're like, okay, but now I already used it. When you use the elements, sometimes that's it. They only get the one use.
Yeah.
And they either become something different or are just totally gone. And like, it was so weird to me because I caused the crash and I made the biker be wounded and like I made the ambulance, but then using the help function, the help element on the wounded biker element created the ambulance, but then you don't actually combine the ambulance and the biker. The ambulance just sits there as an element that you don't ever use. And I was really confused by that. So it can really throw you off as to how to put things together sometimes because you may have extra elements that you're just not sure what to do with.
Or not supposed to use.
Yeah, they're just kind of... One of the missions is you become an underground fighter. Game is a little weird when you explain it like this. But you become an underground fighter and you just like... You randomly have elements for knocked out teeth whenever you get hit. And you're like, what am I going to do with it? It's just a tooth. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with the fucking tooth.
You can't handle the tooth.
I cannot handle the tooth. There's too many tooths. It was sad.
It's a really cool game, though. It's weird once you're just thrown into it off the bat. But once it clicks... And you understand what you're doing. It's really cool to just see what kind of different elements you can create and what kind of different combinations and options there are in the game and how the stories play out. It's really cool.
It was. And I thought it was a really unique gameplay. It's not something that you're going to see a lot of. So I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun with it. I just wish they'd fix it. I don't know what's broke at the beginning of it. I want to play it again.
I don't know what's going on with it not loading on your end, but again, the whole permissions thing, I think that's an issue with Microsoft directly. I don't know what they changed behind the scenes, but instead of popping up with a normal console system window that you just select yes or no, the fact that it popped up as a browser, something's definitely wrong there. And I don't know what end is messed up there, but I can only imagine it's on Microsoft. And I think this happens on like the Play Anywhere, like the universal Windows apps. I think that's the games that window pops up on. And that would explain why like a browser window popped up, if anything.
Is this Play Anywhere?
I don't know.
Do you want to look it up real quick?
Yeah,
I should. That'd be nice.
Crime City, Xbox.com. Talk while I'm looking this up. Don't just like leave us...
I'm going to leave us silent because you're going to truncate silence and then it's not a problem anymore. That's how it works.
Available on Xbox One, PC, Hub. Doesn't specifically say Play Anywhere, but the game technically isn't out yet as of when we're recording this.
That's a good point. That might be part of the problem with it as well.
It is X-enhanced, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's pretty. I mean, it's low key. There's not like any massive animations or anything, I suppose you'd say, but you know, it's very pretty for what it is. I like the art style.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So overall, $7 on it. What do you think?
Oh, it's only $7?
Yeah, I said that at the beginning.
Did you? I wasn't listening.
Proud of you.
I do. I'm going to give it a very recommended try it. I want them to fix that stuff at the beginning where you have to plug in a keyboard, and then I'd be like, oh yeah, absolutely, buy it, fuck it, why not? But it's given the issues I'm having with actually just getting it launched, I'm a little hesitant to be like, oh, buy this right now. But they have a few days left. They've got I don't think it comes out till the 7th.
It releases on the 8th.
So they've got a week to go. They're fine. They got a week to fix that shit.
Good stuff. Yeah, I agree. It's a lot of fun. I'm going to go ahead and give it a buy it. I think the technical issues will be sorted out before it launches. I think what's happening on your end might just be an anomaly because I didn't run into anything on my end with it completely crashing.
How many games have I broken on this show, though?
All of them?
You know. Yeah, it's a thing.
So, yeah, I'm going to give it a buy it. It's nice and cheap. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's unique. I just wish it gave you a little more guidance at the beginning to kind of help new people ease their way in instead of fucking go.
Yeah. Makes sense.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Super Volley Blast, developed and published by Unfinished Pixel, released October 31st on Xbox One for $9.99. Super Volley Blast brings back the spirit of old school super fun sports games. Set your friends at the court with the powerful character editor and play with or against them in the story mode or in custom matches and tournaments. It's time to have a blast. Cole, what is Super Volley Blast?
So this is basically volleyball.
What? I couldn't guess based on that name.
Surprise! Spoiler alert!
Shocker!
It is really more meant for local co-op play. You can't play it alone, but the AI, as usual, is pretty goddamn dumb. So don't put all your eggs in one basket when it comes to the AI.
The teammate AI is pretty worthless. Yeah,
the teammate AI is the worst. And yet somehow the AI you're going against, they're going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
But can we just like take a moment to appreciate that they have names like Spoon God and Mob Barley?
Instead of Snoop Dogg and Bob Marley?
Yeah.
Or the one story level is just literally Shigeru and Gabe.
Yeah.
I love the character creation and the options that are in this game. It is ridiculous.
They have the ability to create your own avatars, and you can actually have multiple and use the avatars that you create as well in place for the CPUs if you don't have friends. and if you do have friends, well, fuck it, then just make them use the avatars that you made also. Because you'll get an achievement for making 5. Unless you're like me and you have achievements not popping right now, which is beside the point. But the avatar editor is really unique. There's a lot of options for colors and stuff. It's a lot of fun to play around with. And it's a little more fun when you go into a volleyball game and you're playing with characters. You can even use the avatars that you create in the story mode, which was also nice. You don't go against them, but you can choose one of them to be on your team. And then watch as the AI has them going off into the abyss, just wandering around the edges of the court. I don't know what the AI does when it's on your team. Did you have this problem with them like randomly hitting the ball multiple times in a row when you're standing there trying to hit the ball?
I haven't had that happen, but I have had him dive away from the ball or run away from the ball.
I've seen that too. I saw that too. But mine would just stand there by the net. And I'm like, I'm right here. I'm where the ball's about to go. I'm going to hit it. And then the AI just whacks it. And you're like, no, stop that. Because if one player hits the ball twice, then the point goes to the other team. And yeah, like
volleyball.
Yeah. Like 95% of the points that the other team got was just because my AI was dumb.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take the blame for anything. That AI needs help.
I'll take some of the blame. There were plenty of times where I would jump up for a spike and just completely whiff. So
you can remap the controls in the menu as you're setting up the game, which I thought was really neat, but it's so easy to do that I was accidentally remapping my controls when I didn't want to. and then I get into the game and I would just be jumping around like a fool because I'd somehow accidentally mapped everything to A.
Yay.
I don't know what I was doing, but I would just accidentally remap stuff. So as nice as it is that you can remap dynamically like that, it was also kind of a pain in the ass. Like, it should be a lot easier to set it back to default is what I'm asking for. Because the button, too, it says remap/default. So I'd press Y and go, I'm default again. And then I'd just, like, not have any buttons doing anything because I didn't remap them.
Proud of you.
I don't know how you managed to fuck something so simple up so bad, but I did it. I'm proud of me. Shit. In addition to the story mode, you can also play tournaments. You can play quick matches. There's a lot of options for gameplay here. One of my favorite things is that when you're setting up the matches, there's so many options for how you play, like how high your score is going to go to and how many sets it's going to be and all that. But you can also add a few modifiers in and just make shit really goofy. And my favorite was the chicken ball. You can replace the volleyball with a chicken.
Which, why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you? I'll tell you why you wouldn't, because that motherfucker every now and then gets squirrely and it will be going in one place and then the chicken kind of like squawks and flops around and it just changes path. And you're like, ah, no, I wasn't there. And you know that AI is not going to hit that shit.
Oh, God. That's fantastic.
And there's nothing you can do about it. You can have... Huh?
I didn't even have a chance to mess around with all the weird options in the game. Like, Chris was over, and the two of us, the beauty of this game is we decided, hey, let's play this for like 10 minutes or so. And it was over an hour later where we're just like, all right, one more round. We're going to win this time, one more round.
Oh, my God. I was playing the story mode alone, and I kept getting to a point where I would be so close. It would be the game point, and then my AI would go dumb and give them like 47 points, and I'd lose. And I'd be sitting there going, why is this a thing?
You son of a bitch.
Do it again.
Do it again while Swizzlers drops 100 biddies.
Do it again. Thank you, Swizzlers.
Thank you, Swizzlers. You are the best.
Yeah, it was something fierce, but it is weirdly addictive. Like, because the games can go so quickly, you're just like, it's like playing a roguelike. You're like, okay, I lost, but give me 5 seconds. I can do this. Like, I'm going to do it again. One more try. Joe, did you die?
Yes. Sorry, Swizzlers was talking in chat, so I was paying attention to him.
Don't pay attention.
He said that I don't have a sound effect for bits yet.
That's because you didn't have a way to fix it to where it didn't pop up during the show, right?
Pretty much.
Like it got recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dropping bits.
Bitish.
That's what he wants. So I'll just do it manually. Dropping bits.
It's not like we don't interrupt ourselves for it. So
yeah.
At this point, what's it matter?
I feel so bad for Unfinished Pixel right now. Like, they're listening. Hey, let's listen to this review of our game. Oh, well, the AI is a moron. Yeah, we kind of know that. Dropping bit. What the fuck is he talking about dropping bits for? Dropping bits.
You need to, like, get Norg to record. Instead of, hey, kids, it could be dropping bits. That's as deep as my voice can get, by the way, so just have fun with that.
That's where that whole thing stems from, because I streamed the one review with George, and he's the one who did dropping. It's a takeoff of this one porn star who would scream out dropping loads.
Yeah, but you need to, like, have him record a single little blip just to use as the alert sound, and then we could just get interrupted constantly by that, and it would be hilarious, and people would be more apt to give you biddies if they knew they were going to be fucking up the show.
Dropping bits. Anyway, what were you saying?
I don't remember now.
The fucking AI, man. Why does it keep diving away from the ball?
That chicken ball, though, is hilarious.
I gotta play it again with all that stuff.
There's, I have it in my notes somewhere what the other options were. Oh, a bomb ball. I didn't play with the bomb ball because I was having too much fun with the chicken. I was like, look, I have priorities and the chicken is the priority. You can have an icy floor. There was just so many options. And it really changed it up and kept things fresh. And it was hilarious. It was fun.
So for $10 on this one, what do you think of it?
Yeah, buy it. $10 is a good price. There's a lot here. And if you've got somebody to play, it is local only. There is no online. But if you've got people to play with locally, you're going to have a good time.
I absolutely agree. If you've got friends to play this with, this is going to be an awesome party game. I can sense a lot of controllers being thrown because of this game. Probably at your friend's face.
That's the best way to break a controller. Like, you break two things there. You throw the controller and you break it, but you also hit your friend in the nose and you break their nose.
And you break your friendship.
Yeah. See, three. That's a
triple hit. Triple combo. Dropping bits.
That seems like it would probably, we should probably censor that.
Anyway, speaking of bits, final game to talk about is actually some new DLC for Kingdom Come Deliverance called The Amorous Adventures of Bold Sir Hans Capon, developed by Warhorse Studios, published by Deep Silver, released October 16th on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $9.99. The Amorous Adventures revolves around his attempts to woo the fairest maid he has ever set his eyes upon, and his success will not depend only on his own mastery of the art of love. It's also up to his trusty wingman, you, Henry, to ensure that the tale comes to a happy end. Cole, what happens here?
I feel like I'm one of the only people that have played Kingdom Come that feels like Hans never really gets his redemption, and he's just an entitled shithead the whole time. Like, I see other people talking about the game, and they're like, oh, Hans, so funny, and his relationship with Henry is this and that. And I'm like, no, I just hated the little fucker the whole time. He's awful. He's an entitled little dickhead. He has not changed. Oh, I'm glad to see that they at least stuck with the character model. And there's so many people that love him, and I don't understand. But
so what are you doing this?
The sake of the DLC, Hans is about to go into battle. He's pretty convinced that, you know, it would be horrible if he dies on the battlefield and never tells his current love interest how he feels about her. Hans is pretty well known for sowing his wild oats, if you will, and having a lot of love interest. So this is a little weird because he doesn't want to, you know, just be his entitled douchebag self. Instead, he wants to woo Carolina, who happens to be the butcher's daughter of all people. And he wants to, you know, wants her to believe she has a secret admirer, and it's all falling on Henry to make it happen. Because that's what happens. Hans does nothing for himself. I don't like Hans, by the way.
I can tell.
He does nothing for himself, and his whole misguided love is all up to Henry to make everything better for him, as happens throughout the whole game. So basically, there are three quest lines that you're going to carry out for the sake of the DLC. I do want to point out that as far as DLC for Kingdom Come goes, this is probably the lightest on content that they've had yet. And there's still one more DLC to come that I'm aware of, in December, I think it is. So hopefully there's a little more content in that one than this one, because you can pretty effectively complete this in about 2.5 to 3 hours.
That's not too bad.
No, but when
in an open world RPG, I guess, in
Kingdom Come, like, Kingdom Come is fucking epic. This is a game that you dump hundreds and hundreds of hours into.
True.
And so for DLC, you'd expect there to be a pretty healthy smattering of things to do. At the least, though, you're gonna get a good chuckle out of your experience, as long as you can tolerate Hans. Fuck that guy. But he's gonna send you on some pretty crazy misadventures. Henry's gonna find himself digging up corpses and trying to get Hans's family heirloom necklace back that he lost in a dice tournament. And so,
oh god,
Henry has to go and enter a dice tournament to try to get this necklace back for him, and it's just absolutely crazy. One of the best moments is when Hans finally breaks down to go see the butcher's daughter. They're gonna have a late night rendezvous, and he wants to recite poetry, but he's an idiot. So he has Henry go hide in the bushes and like read him poems, but he's an idiot. Nice. And so then you're choosing these poetry lines, and they're so romantic and so well done. And then Hans is just butchering them with words like intercourse and random stuff. And it's, you know, buy me a beer, you know, I'll have a beer with you, but you have to buy an ale for me. And it's so, so butchered that you cannot help but laugh, even if you hate Hans.
Like you.
It doesn't redeem him. It just adds more fuel to the he's an asshole fire. But it's hilarious.
Well, then for $10, what do you think of it?
I do still give it a buy it. It's a great experience. It's a little nice set to have added on. I did see some people saying that what they chose to do, because it is a shorter experience, I just dove into it in addition to my existing game where I've already like done all this insane shit. But what other people were choosing to do instead was to start a hardcore run and then just letting the DLC missions kind of work their way into their story naturally rather than just being chunked up at the end and feeling like it was just a 2-hour experience or 3-hour experience. Then it was a more natural flow to the game and you weren't quite so concerned with the shorter time.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's an option.
Sounds good.
Indeed, it is good. Speaking of dicks.
Speaking of dicks, that is it for this episode.
Oh, good. I'm out of breath. I need to hit my inhaler.
Do it.
I'm such a nerd. Oh, my God. I have to shake it, though. See? I don't know if you can even hear it.
I have to do my inhaler.
Yeah. It's been raining, and my lungs are just like, no. They're cosplaying. It's Hans. They're entitled dicks. They think they deserve air.
They're useless and annoying. Yeah.
They're sending me on rogue missions for random shit like an inhaler. Fucking albuterol.
Oh, God. But yeah, that is it for this episode. Music. What the? Oh, fuck. I had music I was going to play.
Did that pick that up? I don't know if my mic even picked that up.
I think so. Music is going to be from the brand new album, The Eightfold Road. I can't say that. It's like a tongue twister.
Good job.
From Family Jewel 7X. New album just came out. It is a tribute to Octopath Traveler. There's some awesome, awesome songs on there. Just came out a couple of days ago with Materia Collective. So we're going to play a few tracks off of that. Link for it will be in the description. So go check it out and download the album. I think it's only $12 for like 30 some songs. So that is absolutely worth checking out.
That is a good deal.
But yeah, we are going to rock that music, and that is it. Cole, do you have any final words to end the show?
No, I already hit my inhaler. I can breathe now.
Do it again.
No, I can't. I can't hit my inhaler again. God damn.
Why?
Because it's like there's steroids and shit in it, and I'm already not going to sleep tonight.
Do it again.
Yeah, I have to explain to do that. Oh yeah, I took prednisone and then I hit my inhaler twice and then I hit it two more times because Joe encouraged me. And that's what my conversation with my husband is going to be at 4:30 a.m. when I can't sleep.
Fucked up on my inhaler.